So, next case for argument is Nuxall versus Indian Prairie School. Mr. Kellum.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Nate Kellum. I represent the appellant, Alex Nuxall. Mr. Nuxall comes to this court really just seeking an opportunity to respond to his classmates and share his viewpoint.
Wait a minute, I thought he was seeking a preliminary injunction.
An injunction is for an opportunity, Your Honor, to share his beliefs.
Oh, come on. An injunction is an injunction. Now, what is the preliminary injunction you want? I couldn't figure out from your brief what you want.
Certainly. It's fairly simple, Your Honor. There's a policy by the school
precludes
negative statements.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you, what do you want the preliminary injunction to say?
To enjoin the policy that precludes negative statements against homosexual behavior that will allow him to say, be happy, not gay.
Well, wait a second. That sounds awfully broad. It would also allow him to say homosexuals can go to hell, right?
I'm sorry, what's
allow
that?
Right?
It wouldn't do that. It precludes the policy, Your Honor.
Described the policy as one of...
I don't describe the policy. That's how the school describes
look,
it.
Look, what... Tell me again. What would this preliminary injunction you ask for... You want, what would it say?
It would enjoin the school policy that precludes all negative statements about homosexual behavior.
All negative statements.
Well, I thought they said they would let you, they had examples that you could make things that my religion does not favor homosexuality and citing Bible verses.
No, Your Honor, they wouldn't. They would let you say positive statements about heterosexuality, but they would not allow you to say anything negative about homosexuality. If you take a look at the findings of the fact that district court, particularly I believe it's number 33, that was the particular finding of Judge Hart. They make no bones about that. What they want to preclude is any and all negative statements that concerns homosexual behavior.
Okay, all negative statements. Now, suppose Nuxall wanted to say not be happy, not gay. Suppose he wanted to say all homosexuals go to hell. Now, would your preliminary injunction permit that?
Wouldn't really necessarily speak to that.
Now look, answer yes or no.
I'm trying to answer yes or no.
No,
Your Honor.
You're not. Answer yes or no.
The injunction, no, it would not.
It would not.
No.
Preclude that.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Because it depends
you're
on the context.
Hedging. Suppose he said, forget context. Suppose he has the T-shirt and it says, be happy, not gay, and by the way, all homosexuals go to hell. Is that... And if the school tried to prevent that, would that be precluded by the preliminary injunction you want?
No, Your Honor. The preliminary injunction would not touch that.
Why not?
Because it only deals with negative statements, not necessarily statements that would be disruptive under the Tinker standard.
That's a negative statement.
It is a negative statement.
Are you saying it would be disruptive?
We don't know that.
I think it could be
possible, Your Honor.
Defendants have to know how to comply with preliminary injunctions.
Exactly.
Now, this just says that the policy that precludes all negative statements is unconstitutional, is illegal. You know, that's enjoined, then if Nuxall wants to say, oh, great, I can make negative statements, be happy, not gay was kind of tepid, so I'm going to add to it, be happy, not gay, because if you're gay, you're going to go to hell.
Just because the policy is enjoined.
Now, how is that? Okay, now he does that, and the school says you can't do that.
Yeah.
Now, how does a court interpret your injunction as either permitting or forbidding that statement? What does it do?
It doesn't. Because all the...
It doesn't. What does the court do when he wants to do that? What does the court say?
If you can allow me to answer, Judge. What it does is it just deals with the policy. It eliminates the policy.
You're not answering my question.
You're not.
This is a very concrete question. I've told you what he does.
Right.
And the school says you can't do that.
Okay.
Now the question is, and he says, no, it goes to the court, I have this injunction.
Okay.
Now what does the judge say and why? Is that protected speech by the injunction or not protected speech? And if it's not, why not?
judge said, the judge does not look at the injunction. The judge looks at Tinker. Tinker says it's got to be a material disruption.
Wait a second. The judge doesn't look at the injunction? I don't understand you. He's saying, I'm making this negative statement, and I believe that, and you have enjoined negative, you've enjoined a policy against negative statements. So now what interpretation does the judge give to the injunction?
Because it could be interpreted, and certainly I think it very well would be interpreted as being more than just negative, but I actually personally insulting. Something that's a taunt. Something that provokes someone to fight. Something that would be material.
Something that provokes someone to what?
To fight.
To fight?
Yes, Your Honor. That's the type of thing that Tinker describes. When you take a look at the Tinker case, and that's the rule that applies here, what it precludes is anything that would be materially disruptive or cause substantial interference with the operation of the school. The Supreme Court precedence is what
well,
with the
suppose judge. The school thinks that Be Happy, Not Gay would cause substantial disruption of the school.
Oh, well, if they do, then they would restrict it. Because
that's what they're doing, right? That's the basis of their policy. They think that if you make derogatory comments about people's sex, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, religion, and so on, that's disruptive. So why is that disruptive? Well, and you think that's not disruptive, but you think saying all homosexuals go to hell is disruptive.
It's not that I just think it's not disruptive. The school has not made a claim that they think it's disruptive. There's absolutely no evidence in a record whatsoever that they believe someone saying Be Happy, Not Gay or negative statements would be disruptive. Absolutely none, Your Honor. And so they're not making that argument. What they're saying is that they've got a policy. They've got a mission statement.
What does disruptive mean?
Well, disruptive means it would be an altercation. It would interfere with the classes.
Well, what if they? But their position is that if these people are sensitive, the homosexual people is sensitive, so that if you disparage them, they won't learn as well and so on. Now, is that disruption?
There's no evidence of that, Your Honor. Absolutely not.
Well, there's no evidence that if they said homosexuals go to hell, that would be disruptive either.
Well, right? And that's why it would require an analysis, Your Honor. You'd have to take a look at it. Okay, is that causing a problem?
Analysis would require an evidentiary hearing.
Well, I think it could be both.
What do you mean? That's hedging. If suppose Nuxel may not agree with you. Nuxel may say, yeah, homosexuals go to hell. That's the Christian teaching, and that's what I want to put on my T-shirt. And then if the school challenges that, is he entitled to an evidentiary hearing in which he says to the school, prove that this will be disruptive?
Not necessarily.
What do you mean not necessarily? You love that word, not necessarily. Why not necessarily? Why isn't he making a claim? He says, I don't believe it's disruptive. So why doesn't the school have to prove that it would be disruptive?
Because that's what the Supreme Court would require.
Yes, the school does have to prove it. It's an evidentiary.
Yeah, it does.
Well, so he is entitled to an evidentiary hearing.
It wouldn't necessarily have to. I mean, it could be through affidavits, Your Honor.
It could be
through affidavits. It doesn't have to
that's
be through
evidence.
A hearing.
That's evidence. Affidavits.
It's not a hearing.
Affidavits are evidence, right?
No question.
Evidence.
No question.
Right.
No question. But you're asking me about a hearing, and I don't think that's necessary.
I don't care whether it's oral or on papers or what have you. Evidentiary hearing. He's entitled to an evidentiary.
The school would have to prove it.
Would have to prove it, okay.
Yes, Your Honor. And that's what the Supreme Court guidelines
are. How on earth
are
the schools going to live with this? I mean, because you get your injunction, and now Nuxel or someone else, it doesn't limit it to gays or anything. It can be Jews, blacks, anything you want. Then they start pushing. They say, well, okay, I can say be happy, not gay. Now let's try Leviticus condemns homosexuality, right? Which is a true statement.
Yes.
How about that? Do you think that would be disruptive? What do you think?
I don't think it would.
No,
but,
right.
But what?
So Be Happy, Not Gay is just the beginning of your or Nuxall's campaign to, push push against this school policy of preventing derogatory comments.
All he's trying to say is statements that could be perceived as critical as homosexual conduct. The other statements would be purely hypothetical. There's certainly nothing in the record of that, Your Honor. But I think the cogent point is that it still harkens back to the standard.
If there's no record, why not limit the injunction to be happy, not gay?
I think certainly that's a big part of it. And when you're looking at...
No, come on. Well, why not limit the injunction to be happy, not gay, since there's no record of anything else?
I think for the purposes of this preliminary injunction, that'd be appropriate.
I'm sorry?
That would be appropriate for the purposes of this preliminary injunction.
Now, to get back to the fact of what they would permit, isn't it true they indicated they would be happy, be straight?
That's right. That's exactly right. And see, of course, that's a different message, Your Honor. That is not being negative of homosexuality, but that rather that is exalting heterosexuality, and that is not what Mr. Nuxall wants to say. And what happens is the school is trying to shape Mr. Nuxall's message for him. They're trying to tell him how he can communicate his message.
Well, look, so the gay people, they don't disparage heterosexuality, do they?
I have no idea, Your Honor.
What do you mean you have no idea? You don't know what the Day of Silence is?
Oh, yeah. Well, what they're doing...
Do they disparage heterosexuals?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, they don't disparage. They just talk up homosexuality. They don't disparage her. So why wouldn't it be symmetrical to say, okay, to your client, you can talk up heterosexuality all you want, but you mustn't talk down homosexuality. In other words, to maintain peace in the school, we allow people to speak in favor of their group, but they're not allowed to criticize the other group. Isn't that what the school is trying to do?
No, it's really what you mentioned, American Music Machine. It's creating an intellectual bubble, because what you've got is they allow a pro side of the debate supporting homosexual behavior, but they don't allow the opposition. It's like saying you can support Iraq war, but we're not going to allow...
But look, it is symmetrical in the sense they don't, presumably they do not allow the homosexuals to disparage heterosexuality, right?
Exactly, but I think what... I mean,
so, it's not that... It's not completely one-sided, right?
It is completely one-sided. Well, when you look at the pro and
they don't
con.
Allow the homosexuals to criticize the heterosexuals.
It's clear
they don't allow them to say, be happy, not hetero, right? That would be forbidden, too.
I would think it would.
That would. So why isn't that symmetrical?
Because it doesn't allow the con side of the debate. It's like saying, well, you can support a Iraq war, but you cannot contest it. You have to support peace.
So you want the Gay Alliance to be allowed to disparage heterosexuality?
Well, I don't view that as being disparaging, Your Honor, but they could certainly say that it doesn't lead to happiness. We don't think heterosexuality lead to happiness. They'd have every right to do it, and what that would do is that would encourage dialogue so that people can actually discuss
what
these things.
What if they say, we think... the biblical prohibitions are baloney.
They'd have every right to say that. And I think that would be proper, and then the truth can come out. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Canna?
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Thomas Canna. I represent Indian Prairie School District 204 and the defendant school officials. In denying plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction, the district court gave careful consideration to the prior decisions of this court and to the law concerning student speech that has evolved in this country since John Tinker and his classmates first wore black armbands to school in the late 1960s. When the Supreme Court entered its now famous ruling in Tinker versus Des Moines School District, it could hardly have imagined the complex nature of today's schools and the difficult task facing today's educators. Nor did the court have the opportunity to address derogatory speech that is directed by one student at
Be happy, not gay. It's not very derogatory, is it? It's just... You're not saying anything specific about homosexuality.
I think that's a very interesting question and one we've given considerable thought to, and I'd like to answer it this way, Judge. When you ask if it's derogatory... And I mentioned here that both school officials and the district court found that it was. They had good reasons for doing that. The fact that the message was directed at homosexual students at Neuqua Valley High School is obvious. The plaintiff repeatedly has indicated and insisted that it's essential that this message be communicated in close proximity to Day of Silence activities, which, as a rebuttal to those activities, which the plaintiff views as or perceives as pro-homosexuality activity by gay students, whether or not that's true.
I don't understand. I mean, obviously, that's what the Day of Silence is.
Presumably,
Presumably, I mean, really,
the message of the Day of Silence participants, and it's a national event, is that it's to promote tolerance, not necessarily promotion of a particular advocation of homosexuality, but to promote tolerance.
Don't they have gay pride and things like that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, that's promoting.
I don't take issue with the fact that that's certainly a component of it, Your Honor. But the message
is the school really quite complicit in it?
To the extent that the school permits the event,
it's more than permitting, isn't it? I mean, isn't it giving them a day off from classes in effect?
Oh, no, absolutely not, Your Honor.
They don't speak in class?
No, they're only required to speak if it involves some element of the school day. But generally, you're right. There is an element of silence. They still do attend class. They're allowed to wear a sticker saying they're participating in the event.
Isn't there a sense in which this is school endorsed speech? And the Supreme Court thinks that if you have school endorsing speech, you have a tougher row to hoe to show that they can suppress competing speech.
Well, I think the finding of the district court would speak to that, Judge, that there was no specific endorsement by the school district of the.
May not be specific, but so. They make such a deal of it that.
Getting back to your initial question, though, Your Honor, about the speech. I think it's also important to note that the plaintiffs profess a specific religious obligation to convey to others that the message that homosexuality cannot lead to happiness. And as to whether it was derogatory or harmful, I believe that was the specific intent.
Be happy, not gay is also just a pun, right? It's a pun, because gay used to being happy. You know, the word has been appropriated. So
perhaps, Your Honor.
So it's a joke, right?
No, I don't believe it was a joke at all, Your Honor. To suggest to any impressionable high school student, especially one who might be struggling with their sexual identity, that they cannot be happy or are deemed to a life of unhappiness.
The Supreme Court, for whatever reason, seems to think that free speech is important in schools for kids. So this is such a marginal derogatory term. Shouldn't the school be required to come up with some evidence that this sort of thing would really disturb people rather than be seen as a joke or
Well, of course, Your Honor, the school district would invite that opportunity, but it was never given an opportunity to get to an evidentiary hearing in this case. School officials testify as to that issue.
The American Civil Liberties Union suggests we send this back and have development of a fuller record, since this is an area, the Supreme Court is obviously very interested in this, and you have these opinions by this concurring opinion by Justices Kennedy and Alito that's
in Morse, sure.
The concurrence, but suggests that they really don't believe that general invocations of educational policy ought to be sufficient to, right?
Yeah, I think it goes back to Your Honor and the Court's decisions in the line of cases through the Seventh Circuit, which, of course, Judge Hart felt he was obligated to follow, the Mueller case and Gernetzky and Brandt, that the test is really whether it's reasonably related to the legitimate pedagogical interests of the schools. I think if that test is applied here and school officials are able to demonstrate that this is restriction that's related to those goals and to their educational mission, they've met our standard.
But I don't think they'd have a problem if like the example I gave of someone say if Nuxall wanted to say all homosexuals go to hell and so on. I don't think they'd have a problem of justifying prohibiting that kind of stuff. In fact, Mr. Nellum basically agreed those would be fighting words. But he's willing to accept a preliminary injunction on this record that would just be limited to be happy, not gay. And that's so tepid. Couldn't you say, well, school really ought to have some. So this Day of Science has been going on for a while. It goes on all over the United States.
Yes, Your Honor, it's an annual event.
So it ought to be possible to obtain evidence as to this sorts of things that have happened. What kind of reactions have been created? And
Judge, I think Your Honor's question to Mr. Kellum raised another interesting point, and that was the disruption issue under Tinker. I think that's an interesting analysis, but Tinker had a two-part analysis to their test. Their test also included the component of whether the speech at issue coincided or collided with the rights of the student to be left alone. That is, whether it invaded the rights of others to be secure and to be let alone.
Well, the problem with that, I mean, that would kind of eliminate most of the First Amendment, right?
Few cases have had to deal with it, Judge.
People are very sensitive, so, you know, if almost anything could be said that would offend, yeah. You can't treat offense as an invasion of rights. What's the right to be free from criticism or free from being told that your way of life is bad? Why is that a right?
The rights of others analysis really hasn't been addressed much, as the court noted in Ohio in the Nixon case in 2005. But the very next year in Harper, the Ninth Circuit had occasion to apply that test. And the way they did it was in speech like we have in this case that is directed by one student at another. You don't have very many occasions of that.
Well, that wasn't specifically directed to anybody. Do people go around declaring I'm gay?
In the Harper case?
Was it directed?
Was it in this case?
Yeah.
I think in this case, Your Honor, the response, the rebuttal to the Day of Silence activity was directed specifically at what was perceived to be gay students who participated in that event. It was the day after that event. It was intended
There's
as
a
gay rebuttal.
Gay Straight Alliance, is that who sponsors this?
Yeah, they do sponsor the Day of Silence, Your Honor. There's also a reciprocal.
But it's not as if Nuxhall wants at this stage, in any event, to buttonhole a gay student and say, you know, you better change your sexual orientation, you're going to be in trouble because of Leviticus, right? They don't say that.
That's exactly what they're doing, Your Honor. I think they're suggesting to these students that they cannot be happy in the lifestyle that they may have chosen or been or found.
I'm not sure that even means that, be happy, not gay. I mean, it is an exhortation to be heterosexual, but I don't think they're saying that you can't be happy and gay. It's a play on words, right? Right?
Perhaps it is, Your Honor. I don't know that it undermines the value of the speech as a. I think the question.
I mean, you could, as an original matter, you could take the position. I would be very sympathetic to it that public schools should have basically carte blanche.
Well, I think Your Honor made that clear, all these different groups. Right.
So, but that apparently that's not the Supreme Court's position. So, if we're not allowed to give carte blanche to these school administrators, don't they have to do a little more work to show that something as marginal as be happy, not gay is really going to, well, make it more difficult for the gay students to get their education?
Well, with addressing that point, and the district court did at some length, Your Honor, the district court found certain specific facts, which I'll let the court review in the record. But the court from that determined that there was a harm here to these students. And furthermore, I think as Your Honor pointed out in Gernetzky, that there is a certain element of discretion that has evolved through Fraser and through Kuhlmeier that leads to Your Honor's comment that perhaps the courts shouldn't be overseeing all students' speech decisions made by the schools because of the complexity of these matters and the regularity at which they come up in the school environment.
What if Nuxhall said on his T-shirt, you would be even happier if you were heterosexual?
I'm not sure that would have been a problem, Your Honor. I think if you looked at
isn't this counting angels on the head of a pin?
I don't believe it is at all, Your Honor. Here, I think there's a dramatic distinction, and I think Judge Kane mentioned it, as to what that would have been permitted here. All we had here was a school district attempting to find a happy medium, Judge, a happy medium in an attempt to find speech and to impress upon students their need to be cognizant of the feelings and needs of other students and to try to meet something that was acceptable. I would suggest that be happy, be straight was probably going pretty far. But it was something the school district was willing to live with to try to follow along with what they considered their legitimate pedagogical concerns inculcate civility.
Well, I've kind of lost... This is beginning a little. I think it's getting a little bit ridiculous because be happy, not gay, and be happy.
Be happy
and what goes straight or something.
Be straight. I think it was.
Be straight. Be happy.
That was one of several.
Those are actually the same, right? Because straight means not gay. Gay means non-straight. Those two say exactly the same thing.
That's exactly the point that the school district was trying to impress, Your Honor, that they can, by just making their point in a positive way that doesn't create a demeaning...
The First Amendment allows speakers to choose their own form of words, right? And if you choose an equivalent set of words so that the meaning is absolutely the same, and then maybe there's some of these overtones, this flavor, but isn't that just cutting things too fine?
There were a variety of alternatives suggested by the school district. That was just one of several, Your Honor. They would have also lived with the Day of Truth message, which is the national response to the Day of Silence, which was an innocuous message that didn't attack homosexuality or gays directly.
But, of course, Day of Truth is another way of saying that these homosexual groups, they're lying, right? That's what Day of Truth means. Why don't they object to that?
I don't believe if you look to the Harper analysis, Judge,
the issue... If you have a Day of Truth on which people talk about heterosexuality, they're saying that the Day of Silence is a bunch of lies. Right?
I think when you look at the Harper analysis, Judge, the court would suggest that the speech can be looked at as whether it addresses a core identifying characteristic, something like race, religion, or in this case, sexual orientation. Those are the things that I think affect the school districts, and particularly in this case, this school district, which was trying to inculcate notions of civility and tolerance throughout their population. As large as the school district was...
I understand that, but I don't see... Be happy, not gay is civil. It's not using derogatory words that are attached to these people.
I think if the suggestion that be happy, not gay means if you follow a gay lifestyle, you cannot be happy, I think that's severely damaging to our high school students.
What if you said, I'm happy, not gay?
Your Honor, without speculating, I would say that would be less concern to the school district. But again, I think each case falls largely on its facts. And here, I think school officials would have to look and see what the environment is in which speech like that is given. I think that's certainly less offensive. Whether it would have been permitted, I honestly couldn't say.
That it?
No, I'd like to continue if I could, Judge. And I don't want to take too much of the court's time. But just to follow along, Judge, the district court felt an obligation, as it should, to follow the precedent of this court. And this court in Mueller made extensive reference to what the standard is that this district court should have followed. In that case, in Mueller, the court clearly identified that the rights of or that the legitimate pedagogical interest analysis would not just be limited to school-sponsored speech like Hazelwood, but would apply in other circumstances. And that's been true in other cases as well, even cases after Morse, as the district court pointed out. And this court followed that up in Gernetzky, and they followed it up in Brandt. The reasonableness standard has been the one that has existed in this court for many years. And the district court was obligated to and did follow that analysis.
What if the school said, we're not going to allow the Day of Silence because we think that's going to upset heterosexual students and they'll wonder maybe they're secretly homosexual and they get upset and so on. Would that be Would that be okay?
I don't believe the school district here would feel that it was within its purview
to restrict. This school district wouldn't, sure, but other school districts might, right?
I don't believe the day of silence in and of itself is it would be
upset people. They don't know about these things. They don't like the idea that they're.
Well, certainly this school district would not take that position, Judge. I feel confident of that.
Pardon?
I said certainly this school district would not take that position,
yeah,
and they have not.
The issue is how much deference we should give to a school district's
right.
judgment. If they think that gay pride type advocacy upsets the heterosexual students, why can't they bar that by your standard?
I know I'm out of time, but if I could just respond with... Sure. With a reference to Your Honor's comment in Gernetzky, and I'll leave it at that, that you know, we pause here to express our doubts about the appropriateness of litigation that is intended, whether by the friends of religion or by its enemies, to wrest the day-to-day control of our troubled public schools from the school administrators and hand it over to judges and jurors who lack both knowledge and responsibility for the operation of the schools. Your Honor pointed out there that the high school was contained 2,000 students and that the regulatory and disciplinary problems implied by those numbers were formidable. Here the school district is twice that large. The school, Neuqua Valley, is twice that large, and it's only one of two high schools in the school district, 204. So the problems here are compounded even more. So it's a difficult road, no doubt, Your Honor, and the school districts do the best they can under the guidance that this court's given them.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Kellum. Mr.
Kahn.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kahn, I'm sorry. Mr. Kellum, how much time? 3 minutes?
I don't think I have much time, Your Honor.
2 minutes.
Thank you. In Tinker, the court instructed that students are not to be closed-circuit recipients of only that which the state chooses to hear, and I think that's precisely what's going on with Neuqua Valley High School, is that they're choosing a message that they believe the students ought to hear. And it, certainly with the message, be happy, not gay, that would certainly seem to be appropriate. It doesn't cause disruption. It certainly would be something that the school should allow in allowing everyone to view share their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you very much to both. So,